Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to take a trip back in time, back to the Roaring Twenties, to dig into a case that highlights that even striking oil sometimes isn't enough.
You got it. We're diving deep into Baldwin v. Bluestem Oil Co., a case really that all boils down to one kind of simple word, produced, as in oil actually flowing from a well.
Okay, so paint the picture for us.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, we're Bluestem Oil Co. We just got this 3-year oil and gas lease, and we're feeling pretty good. Like, there's a whole lot of oil just waiting to be pumped.
Right, but there's a catch, right? This lease comes with what's called a habendum clause. Basically, if you don't hit production, and I mean actual production, before those 3 years are up, poof, the lease just expires. No second chances, no nothing.
Talk about pressure. So did Bluestem wait till like the last minute to even start drilling?
Well, not exactly. They actually kicked things off about 45 days before the deadline. It was December of 1918. So yeah, they were definitely cutting it close.
All right. So they're trying, right? But something must have gone wrong. What happened?
Oh, it was one thing after another. I mean, first you've got this terrible drought slowing them down. Then some of their workers get sick, more delays. And if that wasn't enough, World War I fuel restrictions get thrown into the mix. Talk about bad luck.
Wow, so they were this close to getting that oil flowing.
Yeah.
But, like, just ran out of time.
Exactly. When the lease was up, January 17, 1919, the well was drilled, yeah. But there was no oil coming out. And that is when the legal battle really began.
Man, I bet they were frustrated. So close. Did they try to argue that, you know, they were just days away from production? That all these delays were just totally out of their control.
Oh, absolutely they did. And this is where it gets interesting. Just a few days before that deadline, Bluestem, they tried to pay rent to the Landervers, the Baldwins. Maybe that'd buy them some time, you know?
Seems like a reasonable move to, like, keep the lease alive. So why didn't it work?
Well, the court, they made a really important distinction here. This wasn't a situation where Bluestem broke the lease terms, you know, a breach of contract. The lease, it just straight up expired. And that's a whole different ballgame, legally speaking.
Ah, so it's almost like the court was saying, yeah, we get it. You had a rough go, but a deal's a deal. And the deadline, well, that's the deadline.
Exactly. And to really drive the point home, they brought up this idea of foreseeability, basically saying Bluestem should have, you know, thought ahead about things like bad weather or, you know, the government possibly interfering. Tough luck.
So they got penalized for not planning for every possible problem, even if some of those problems were totally outside their control. That seems, I don't know, harsh.
Well, the court's thinking was those kinds of problems are kind of part and parcel of the oil and gas business. And it was on Bluestem to think about them and put something in the contract to cover those situations.
Okay, I'm starting to see how important it is to think about those risks ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And to address them clearly in any contract, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, the court also pointed out that rental payment Bluestem made, that only covered what they already owed under the existing lease. It wasn't some magic extend my deadline fee.
Right, right. Like, you can't just change the rules of the game with a payment. So this is fascinating, but also kind of makes me think, what if something really unexpected happens, something you just couldn't have planned for? Are you still, like, stuck with that strict interpretation of the contract?
That's a great question, and it's something we'll unpack as we dig deeper into this case. The court's decision, it might seem rigid, but it does underline how important it is to have contracts that are crystal clear. No room for misinterpretation, especially when you've got fixed deadlines involved.
Okay, this is already proving to be a valuable lesson in contract drafting, especially, I would think, for those in the oil and gas world. So what else did the court focus on in this case?
Well, they really stressed that they weren't trying to punish Bluestem. It was more about upholding the lease agreement, the sanctity of the contract.
So, like, they were saying, look, we're not heartless. We're just applying the law as it's written.
Exactly. They wanted to make it clear this wasn't about rewriting the contract after the fact. It was about sticking to what both parties had agreed to originally.
Right. Upholding the original intent. So this is all really fascinating stuff. And I think we've got a good handle now on the court's perspective. Now, I'm curious, what could Bluestem have done differently to avoid this whole legal mess?
Okay, let's get into that. There were actually a few key strategies that might have changed their fate completely.
All right, let's hear them. I think our listeners, especially those who deal with contracts day in and day out, are going to want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's pretend Bluestem had, like, a time machine and a crystal ball. They could see all these problems coming. What could they have done differently back when they were first putting that lease together?
All right. Well, first off, they could have pulled out the big guns, force majeure clause. Think of it like a legal safety net for stuff that's totally outside your control.
Right, like acts of God, wars, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. If they'd stuck a force majeure clause in there that specifically mentioned droughts or maybe government interference or even, like a pandemic, they might had a better shot at getting that lease extended. It's all about thinking ahead, anticipating those curveballs, and spelling them out clearly.
That makes sense. So instead of being trapped by that rigid deadline, they'd have some wiggle room if something crazy happened.
You got it. Now, there's another tool they could have used, the drilling operations clause. Instead of just tying the lease extension to actual oil production, they could have linked it to, showing real progress with the drilling.
So basically, as long as they were actively drilling, they could argue for more time,
Yeah.
even if the oil wasn't flowing yet.
Exactly. It shifts the focus, right? From the results to the effort. Of course, you got to define what diligent drilling actually means, but it could have given them some breathing room.
Clever. It's like acknowledging that, hey, sometimes things happen that are outside your control, even if you're working hard.
Yeah.
So we've got force majeure, drilling operations. Any other legal tricks they could have tried?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They could have added some contingent extension language in the lease, phrases like unless prevented by, that kind of thing. It gives you some flexibility.
So instead of a hard deadline, it's more like, well, it depends.
Right.
Acknowledges that stuff happens in the oil and gas world.
Exactly. It says, hey, we know unforeseen stuff can come up, so let's adjust accordingly.
Right, so they had some options: force majeure, drilling operations, and contingent extension clauses. Sounds like Bluestem could have protected themselves from that really strict interpretation of the contract.
Yeah, definitely could have. And you know what's interesting? Even after they lost the case, Bluestem tried to change their legal argument. Didn't work, though.
So they were trying to fix things after the fact. What happened there?
Well, they filed a motion to set aside the judgment, wanted to amend their answer and bring up these new arguments, basically asking the court to reconsider because they missed some key points.
Makes sense. Why didn't the court go for it?
The court, they felt like Bluestem had plenty of time to make those arguments earlier in the case. Bringing them up after the ruling just felt like they were trying to get out of the consequences, because they messed up the lease in the first place.
So, like the court was saying, too little, too late.
Yeah, pretty much. And it really highlights something important. Timing matters, legally speaking. You can't wait till the last second to make important arguments or try to patch up a bad contract. Gotta be proactive.
That's a good takeaway for anyone who deals with contracts. Think ahead, no matter what industry you're in. So let's fast forward to today. Think a case like this would play out the same way in a modern courtroom?
That's a great question. Oil and gas law, it's definitely evolved a lot since the 1920s. So would Bluestem have a better shot today?
Intriguing. I guess the legal landscape's changed, but are some of those core principles still relevant, even after all this time?
Ah, now that's the million-dollar question, and one we're going to tackle head-on next.
So, even though things have changed, are we still seeing that Baldwin v. Bluestem oil cone case popping up in oil and gas law today?
Oh, absolutely. Even though contracts have gotten, more complex and we've got all these new clauses, that basic idea from Baldwin, it's still super relevant.
And what idea is that exactly?
Get it in writing. Don't just assume something's part of the deal if it's not written down. It's like it doesn't exist, legally speaking.
So even though oil and gas leases are way more sophisticated these days, you got to be really careful about how you write them up.
You got it. Don't rely on handshake deals or that's just how we do things, kind of thinking.
Especially when you're talking about millions of dollars, those assumptions can go up in smoke real quick.
Now you're getting it. And here's another thing to remember.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's say a modern court was more sympathetic to Bluestem's situation. Going to court, all that back and forth, it's expensive, it takes forever.
Yeah, legal battles, they can really drain you financially and emotionally, all that stress and uncertainty.
Exactly. So the smartest move, make sure your contract's so airtight, nobody wants to go to court.
Good point. So let's break this down for our listeners. Whether you're dealing with a huge oil and gas deal or just trying to wrap your head around contracts, what are the big lessons from Baldwin v. Bluestem Oil Co. that we can apply today?
Number one, think like a pessimist when you're writing a contract.
Assume everything that could go wrong will go wrong, and put something in there to protect yourself.
Number two, production means production, period.
Right. Having good intentions or putting in a lot of effort, that's not always enough for the courts, especially when there's a hard deadline.
And finally, remember that just paying rent or making some payments, it doesn't magically rewrite the contract.
It just means you're keeping up with what you already agreed to,
yeah.
Not changing the rules.
Baldwin v. Bluestem, it happened over 100 years ago. But man, the lessons from that case are still so important today.
It really shows you how risky those time-limited agreements can be.
And why being super precise with the wording, every little detail really matters.
Even back in the 1920s oil fields, we see how much those clear, strong contracts matter. And they're even more important in today's world.
Well, folks, that's about it for our deep dive into the wild world of oil and gas law.
And remember, listeners, if you're ever not sure about something, talk to a lawyer. They can help you navigate those tricky contract details and make sure you're protected.
Until next time, stay curious and happy deal making.